Insider website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. That telephone number, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after a brief monologue, we're going to have a discussion today. I believe it should be a lively discussion, an input from you, our listeners. We're talking about how to make America great again. We're going to talk about how to make America great again. We've heard the mantra from President Trump, make America great again. He won the election on that mantra, that slogan, and that position to make America great again. But how can it be done? I'm not talking about mechanics of it, politically speaking, or academically speaking. I'm talking about how can we make America great again, biblically speaking. That's where we're going today, what we'll be discussing. All of America continues to be excited, I believe, joyful and expectant with the election of President Donald J. Trump as our 47th president. President Trump is known for his slogan, Make America Great Again. We're going to delve into that, look at it. Dr. Phelps is with me today. Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about how to make America great again, biblically. Dr. Phelps has developed seven key points, key things that need to be done. We'll be listening to him and allowing him to share with us what we need to do. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a biblical standpoint, biblical worldview. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. That's looking at everything we see locally, nationally, statewide, and internationally through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, with Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we found recently in a failed billion-dollar election campaign by Kamala Harris that truth did not prevail. Therefore, the election efforts failed. If I can simply put it in that capsulization of thought, everything that was said was based on a lie. $1 billion spent, actually $1 billion, $20 million. And now $20 million is still a deficit. I found it right comical listening to an individual on early morning news that was one of the fundraisers, one of the funders, a lady that was distressed because she said so many things had been said by the Harris campaign that were not true, that now those that had given mega millions in funding wish they had their money back because they were deceived, she said. They were told that, yes, that Kamala Harris would even win the state of Iowa, and that was not true. It was a fictitious fabrication of a campaign because there was no standard of telling the truth. It goes back to Orwell, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel called 1984. Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that's to be factually truthful today. But truth matters regardless of your side of the aisle. Truth matters whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Truth matters whether you're saved or lost. Truth is what we have to depend on. We need to understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article in part says, 55% of younger Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth. Any bifurcation of that, you have a half-truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. And by the way, when Jan Hus was dying as he was being burned at the stake, he screamed, truth shall prevail. One of the other statements that Jan Hus had made was this: do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is true. I find it one of the most difficult things to get people to understand, even as Christians, that we need to stand for truth, not bow to the woke society. We should not bow to the politically correct. We should not bow to the immoral, ungodly, unholy principles that's being promulgated in society today. That will destroy any nation. The scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's in Proverbs 29:2. That's where we ought to be today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291. Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find Tools for Time. But atop that flagpole, you'll find Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Find the flag in the flagpole, and you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that Donald J. Trump will be our 47th president. Trump 45, Trump 47. But Trump campaigned on the slogan of making America great again, called MAGA. I've heard some say MAGA. It's MAGA, M-A-G-A, make America great again. Listen, his major commitment is, as he put it, to drain the swamp in D.C. and to clean the sewers and give conservative Christians and patriots hope for tomorrow. Some of the President Trump's commitments are as follows. I'm going to briefly overview his commitment for making America great again. Then we're going to make a transition, what we need to do from a biblical standpoint to fulfill the Trump commitment of making America great again. President Donald Trump's committed to stop the government censorship. You realize right now your text messages, email messages, telephone calls, everything that we do or say is monitored. The algorithm reaches in, picks out certain words, and puts it on reserve so that if the feds ever want to come back against the citizens, they can tell you what you said, when you said it, who you were speaking to. Talking with a man the other day, and during the course of the conversation, he said, yeah, for the administration that's listening, you heard me right. This is what I said. This is what I mean. And this is the reason it needs to be understood in the context that I'm saying it. I find that ironic that as conservative Christian patriots, as a constitutional republic, we have to worry about everything we say, every place we go, everything we do being monitored. That's being done today. But President Trump said he's going to stop the government censorship. President Trump makes a commitment to stop the CRT, the Project 1619, and the LGBTQ agenda in our public school system. He has even committed to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some people that shake all over. In fact, one individual that's one that's standing for and a preponderant for U.S. Department of Education says, if Trump goes in office, if Trump shuts down the Department of Education, no longer will we be able to educate our kids. Ladies and gentlemen, since 1980, approximately that date, when Jimmy Carter, President Carter, put in the U.S. Department of Education, our academics have plummeted. And the cost of education has skyrocketed, and yet we have very little real academic training in America today. The greatest thing Trump can do in that realm in shutting down the Department of Education, because it will remand education back to our states and federal funding through the states back to the local communities, where moms and dads will have a say-so on who we elect as school board members that will have control over what our kids are taught in the public schools. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if we shut down the Department of Education, we can go back to prayer in the classroom, pledge to the flag in the classroom, scripture reading in the classroom, Bibles in the classroom, as it was in yesteryear when America was great. We need to make it great again. President Trump has committed to stop the transgenderism, if you've not heard that term, the barbaric butchering of healthy body parts when an individual has sexual gender dysphoria, that somehow, some way, the government now says there needs to be the chopping off of the body parts, putting the individual on big pharma medications for the rest of their lives just to survive. And 47% higher percentage of those doing that wind up committing suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has said he's going to stop that transgenderism, destroying our young men and young ladies, the boy bodies. And he's going to be including the policy that under the Biden administration has allowed our boys and our girls in schools to have transgender surgeries without parental notification or without parental consent. Trump says, I'm going to stop it. He's going to make America great again, he says. A commitment to seal our borders, to make America great again. We've got somewhere between 20 and 25 million illegal invaders in America. Trump says he's going to deport them. You've got a hair-pulling, hair-on-fire mindset from the socialist Marxist left that say, how are you going to do that? Well, Tom Holman, that's H-O-L-M-O-N, Tom Holman that's now will be in charge of the border after January the 21st, of 2025, Tom Holman, when being interviewed and chided, that the female anchor for CNN chiding Tom Holman said, well, do you mean to say you're going to separate families by deporting their moms and the dads? And he said, yeah. Well, you're going to separate the husbands from the wives and from the children? He said, when I was a police officer in New York City, I arrested a drunk. When I'd arrest a drunk, put him in jail, I separated him from his family. The interviewer said, isn't there a way that you could do that without separating families, without a smile, without a frown, without a moment's delay? Tom Holman said, yes, we can. We can deport the whole family. Ladies and gentlemen, that can help make America great again. Trump made a commitment to seal the borders, deport the illegals. Trump said that he is going to stop the government-forced EVs, electric vehicles. By the way, Ford Motor Company lost about, $150 billion trying to gear up and sell Ford trucks, EVs. They have failed. The program has failed. And yet it's being forced by mandate and executive orders through the Biden administration that by 2025, 2026, that there must be the EVs. In fact, the mandate is by 2030 across America, you would not be able to buy a fuel-propelled, engine-driven vehicle in America. There would all have to be electric vehicles. It is a dismal failure, and Trump says he's going to remove that mandate so that people will not be forced to buy an electric vehicle. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump says he's going to increase the oil and gas production in America that will make us independent again, energy independent. I look forward to that, but listen very carefully. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, what's really necessary? What do we need to do to truly make America great again? That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear your input. I've shared with you a brief thumbnail sketch of what Trump says he's going to do for his carrying out his mantra of making America great again. But will that truly make America great again? I'm not saying that it's not needed. I'm not saying it's not necessary. I'm not saying that any of those things he's outlined are not good. But I believe we need to go much further if we're going to truly see America great again. I'm delighted to have Dr. Phelps with us today. Dr. Phelps is Bible and Theology Professor in Conservative Theological University. I'm thankful that he's taken time this morning to join with us on Let's Face the Issues. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here. Thank you for your insight and wisdom. I believe you've developed a 7-point plan for making America truly great again. Share with us one point at the time. Point number one, what you think is needed, and then we'll have dialogue and discussion as we move through your 7 points.
All right. It's good to be able to talk about this MAGA movement. And I believe that the movement will need the kind of support of the American people that goes beyond the ballot box. Excuse me. I believe we must participate in the movement to make America great again. Being just a spectator will not help. There are at least 7 qualities I believe that must be restored or returned to America in order to make America great again.
So what we're talking about, Dr. Phelps, is to make America great again, we've got to go beyond just the philosophical. We've got to go beyond the rhetorical. We've got to go beyond that which is called practical and closing the border and doing these other things. And so what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, is the 7 things, the 7 points that we need to integrate into our society. If we can go back to where we were when America was great, that we can make it great again. Dr. Phelps, share with us some of those points.
I believe that we need to restore respect for free enterprise and the American dream. History reveals that our country has become one of the most prosperous nations in the world. I'm glad to be an American. It's because of the willingness of people to work to produce the things we need. People have in the past been determined to rely upon personal initiative rather than government. A few years ago, I heard a speech by Ronald Reagan, and he said that some people are not willing to work. I don't know where he got that idea. But then he made a statement that I'll never forget. He said, when we talk about manual labor, some people think we're referring to the president of Mexico.
Yeah. Manual labor. I like that.
You know, America's heritage, inspired by biblical Christianity, gave people a higher degree of character and a will to work. Most Americans have always looked upon the ability to work as a blessing and therefore saw labor as a dignified way to fulfill their responsibility and thus glorify God. As the scripture said in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the people had a mind to work. This work ethic is a gift from God and a way to glorify Him. In free enterprise, private businesses are free to operate and make a profit in this country. When America loses the willingness to work, America will no longer be great.
Dr. Phelps, I am delighted to hear that stated as you did. We're finding today with especially with the new generation, there's a mindset that I want the same type of home mom and dad had, want the same car that mom and dad has, but I'm not willing to work for it. There's a mindset that there's a deserving attitude, that I deserve this, I deserve that, but I don't need to work for it and go through the years of labor and toil and commitment and energy to be able to have it. It is amazing to where we have fallen. And by the way, I realize with what President Trump has said in his mantra of making America great again, it's understood that there would be the work ethic. But it's not been part of his mantra and how to make America great again. But unless people are willing to work, in fact, the scripture is clear. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Phelps, but I believe the scripture says that a person is not willing to work, what is the statement?
Should not eat.
Should not eat. That's right. And yet we have a whole society that doesn't want to work, but they want to eat.
They sure do.
What are your other thoughts, Dr. Phelps?
Well, one of the things in my experience of someone I know was working at a business here in Jacksonville, and some of the employees were just on the phone rather than working.
Mm-hmm.
They thought their job was just an opportunity to gossip or spend time, you know, just doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, there was confusion and there were problems in that office.
Yes.
Some people lost their job.
As it should have been.
And I believe that it's an attitude that many people have today. They just want to be freeloaders.
Mm-hmm.
The world owes me a living.
Yes.
The world owes me something.
Deserving.
McDonald's
mindset.
Had that mm-hmm. same kind of thinking. I believe when many years ago they had a commercial that says, you deserve a break today.
Yeah.
Now mm-hmm. people have that mentality. They think the world owes them something.
That's right.
They deserve something. Well, I believe that we need to prove that by adopting the work ethic that's been part of our country for years and made our country great at the beginning.
And if I can put a little parenthetical footnote on that, Dr. Phelps, the work ethic has diminished even though the wages have increased extraordinarily. And I'm still less than 100. We're still less than 100. I recall a day when there's no such thing as a minimum wage. I recall a day when I would work all day and was 50 cents an hour. I wasn't concerned about somebody else might have gotten 60 cents an hour, but it was what was offered. I took the job and made the money. At that time, a loaf of bread, and this will tell my age, at that time a loaf of bread was about 19 cents. A gallon of gas was 19.9 cents. And yet people could work all week, pay for the groceries, pay for the gasoline, have more net, percentage-wise, net money in the pocket than have today with the wages being as they are. And you have more and more people sitting down thinking that I ought not to have to work to have income and to have these luxuries in life. But it goes beyond that. What are the other things that you think needs to be done to make America great again?
I think there needs to be a return of respect for life and property. Most Americans have had the traditional respect for human life. I know that was true when I was a youngster,
mm-hmm.
and all of my life I've seen that to be true. For some people, a single human life is considered to be precious because it's created by God in His own image. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 139 that God sees the unborn child and knows of the potential of a life of service in the world. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God told the prophet, "Before you were born, I sanctified and ordained you a prophet."
That's right.
God's people, therefore, should respect human life. Therefore, whether embryo, newborn, or infant, or child, human beings are precious in the sight of God. Kelly, another human being is an attack upon the image of God. Murder by way of abortion stops a beating heart. I'm so glad my mother was pro-life. Aren't you?
Amen. Those that are pro-death today, that is against the unborn child and believe in murder by way of abortion, I don't know if they've ever sat back and thought about what if my mother had aborted me.
Yeah.
There's not a concern about that. Continue your thought with that, Dr. Phelps.
Also, along the same line, many Christians have had respect for the property of others. We're taught in the scriptures that it's wrong to rob what others have worked hard to produce. So to steal what belongs to others. Instead, we're to work to provide for our family and be honest in our dealings with money. We should also respect public property, including buildings, monuments, statues, and churches. To deface public property is to destroy the value of things that belong to others. Most Christians do not participate in violent protests that ruin the things that belong to the heritage of the citizens of America. So we see so much of things happening today that are contrary to that kind of thinking.
We see the rioting, we see Antifa, we see Black Lives Matter, we see the mindset that, in fact, they're promising that now. They're saying that before Trump is inaugurated, they plan to destroy our cities across America. There's major money going into the planning, the preparation to carry out riots in the streets in America to try to dissuade and to deter and or to prevent Trump's inauguration. And I watched with horror back just a couple of years ago when these rogues in the streets were burning police buildings, police headquarters, maiming others, destroying whole cities, tearing down monuments with no respect. I believe Trump, one of the things he's not harped on as a major thing, but Trump is talking about when he goes back in office of making it a major, major, major felony to deface or to destroy monuments or to tear down or to burn as a result of rioting. I recall the horror of watching in the background cities being burned and rioters throwing bricks and things at windows. And there's a CNN or MSNBC reporter with a microphone and the camera going, showing all of that, and said, most of this is mostly peaceful demonstration. Mostly peaceful demonstration.
It's laughable.
Laughable, yes. What are some of the other thoughts that you think? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about how to make America great again. How to make America great again. President Trump's mantra is making America great. We know what his statements are. They're all wonderful, well, and good if they can be implemented. But what is it that needs to be done from a biblical perspective to make America great again? The telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear your input. What do you think needs to be done to make America truly great again? I've got Dr. Neil Phelps with me. Dr. Phelps is a professor of Bible and theology in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, continue with your thoughts. Dr. Phelps has 7 points that he believes need to be implemented to truly make America great again.
Another thing I think that needs to be restored in our land is respect for the national flag.
Yes.
And the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe they're a part of American patriotism. Patriotism is the love for our country and the desire to make our country the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the willingness to serve and sacrifice for the good of America. A person by the name of Daniel James was a man of patriotism. He was taught by his mother, who operated an elementary school for black children in her home. This man, known as General Chappie James, served in the U.S. Armed Forces. He said of his mother, "She taught me all the basics, love of God, love of country, and love of fellow man. Never turn your back on God and country," she said.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, you mentioned that. And back in that era, the flag, U.S. flag, was in the classroom. Every morning, we were required to pledge to the flag. We were required to pray. We had prayer, Bible reading, scripture memory verses, that the next day you'd memorize the scripture and come back in the classroom and quote it before the class. We had less juvenile delinquency then than we do now because the Bible was in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine.